Hello, my name is Dion Bicycle, and as a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to helping you achieve a better quality of life by diving deep into the roots of our feelings. Our goal here is to ask a critical question: how can we manage emotion more effectively with greater wisdom? In today's episode, we are exploring one of the most common thieves of peace: worry. We often think that worry is just a busy mind, but it is actually a complex biological tug of war inside our minds. When we worry, our brain's internal smoke detector, the amygdala, perceives a future what if as an immediate effect. This triggers a flood of cortisol and adrenaline, leaving your body in a state of high alert, even when you are physically safe. This is why my focus is on the bio-spiritual wellness and a system approach to counseling. We aren't just looking at our thoughts, we are also looking at the brake system of our nervous system. We're gonna look at how lifestyle, environment, and spiritual interact with others can fuel worry or quiet it. I believe that caregiving is about more than just symptom management. It's about personal growth and achieving wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. Today, we will provide you with a practical toolkit and a neurological insight to help you move from a state of cognitive paralysis to one of empowered resilience. Whether you are facing an internal triggers like financial stress or internal triggers like perfectionism, we are going to learn how to navigate your well-being with a greater clarity. This is The Balanced Mind, and let's begin. Okay, so let us look at the definition of worry. So worry can simply be put that it's a feeling, emotion, of being anxious or troubled about an actual problem or a potential problem. The word worry can also be seen as a verb, which makes sense because when we worry, we do something, but it can also be seen as a noun. One definition is that worry is an anxious way of thinking about yourself and the world. It usually involves thoughts about what bad things might happen in the future, or whether you will be able to cope with that problem when it actually happens. The second definition goes as follows: worrying is having a chain of negative thinking about things that might happen in the future. Worries are often things that we don't currently have control over, and worrying can lead to even more worrying, which results in wearing us down. and make us feel heavy. It can also cause us to feel physically ill. So let us look at what causes worry, what happens in the brain when we worry. And this is where the tug of war comes in, because it's a war between the emotional center of your brain, the amygdala, and then the logical part of your brain. So here is what happens inside your brain during the worry loop, the exercise of being worried. So the worry usually begins in the amygdala, the almond-shaped cluster deep in the brain. It is its job, is to detect threats. When you worry, the amygdala is firing false alarms, perceiving a future event like a presentation or a difficult conversation as an immediate physical danger, even if you are just sitting on your couch. So it's all in the amygdala where the worry begins. And then it says, hey, watch out, watch out. We need to watch out. We need to stand up. We need to get ready to fight. But then the prefrontal cortex comes into play. This is the logical part of your brain. And it lies just behind your forehead. Now, normally, the prefrontal cortex quiets down the amygdala by telling it, hey, amygdala, you know what, chill, it's just a thought. We are not actually in danger. Now, in the worried part of the brain, the connection between the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala becomes muddled and weak because it's that tug of war going on between these two parts of the brain. Instead of calming the amygdala down, the prefrontal cortex gets hijacked. It starts using a high-level processing power to problem-solve the fear, which we experience as rumination or what-if loops. What if that happened? What if that never happens? And so on and so on and so on. Then your brain releases a specific set of chemicals that change how you feel. These chemicals are cortisol and adrenaline. These flood the system to prepare you for that fight or flight feeling, causing your heart rate to rise and your breathing to become very shallow. In this worried state of mind, your levels of the neurotransmitters are responsible for calming the neural activity. Usually it drops. This makes it harder for your brain to turn off the intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thoughts. And then there's a dopamine shift. We can actually be a low grade addiction, this dopamine shift. When we worry, our brain thinks it is working on a problem. Even when we find a potential solution that's probably not even the best solution, we get a tiny bit of dopamine, which reinforces the habit of worrying. Now, okay, let me summarize what I just said. So in your brain, the amygdala detects a threat. Okay? And the result of this detecting a threat, you get feelings of dread or butterflies in your tummy. Then comes the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that wants to solve this threat. And if they can't solve it, they go to infinite scenarios by asking, what if this and what if that? Then your hippocampus, the memory cortex, tells you then, you know what, let's remember all the failures we had with this situation in our lives. And then these failures proves to us, to the brain, hey, it's valid to worry. You have a point to worry. And later on, you can focus on what is going on. So it's not always putting the emotion of worry into context. There's a whole system the feeling goes through before we can actually calm it down. So let's look at some of the factors that causes us to worry. And now we're going to look at the external triggers that triggers us to worry. Now I know that everybody can identify with worry, but as we go through the list, why don't you just tick off in a box, say yes, I struggle with that, or no, I'm not so much, or this is a part where we can work on. So let's look at these triggers. The first one is vague communication. You see, we sometimes text people and we invite them over text or invite with no description. Stuff like, you know what, can I bring a friend? What must I bring along? Many people sometimes also forget to add a time. I recently went to a get together, but the invite was clear, but there was no time. Obviously, it creates worry because you don't know what time to arrive. We don't think about this, but it does have a great effect in our communications. Even when we write an email to a supervisor, a manager, and we don't put everything in the email, we sometimes forget to be clear. And then communication gaps happen, and that can create worry. Next up, we have information overload. Oh my word. Okay. This is called doom scrolling effect. Okay. Constant access to global crises, economic shift, and tragic news that you have zero control over. Think about the petrol price. I always go to the petrol price. We worry about it. How am I going to get to work if the petrol price keeps on rising? And then we worry about it, but we can't do anything about it. How can we change the petrol price? And so we worry about an information or about the information we are fed. So that is a big one we all step into. Next one is financial instability. That is also a difficult one. In our country, it is really difficult to focus and keep ahead with everything going on. Rising costs, debt, job insecurity, and the primary instinct of survival. How am I going to survive this month? Social comparison. We look at the highlight of others' lives on social media. which then triggers worry that we are falling behind. Or worse, it gives the impression that we are failing. I know that is the big one for me. Then also, your environment can also put worry into your life. High-stress environments, such as a cluttered home or an office, or a loud office, you know, where people are always busy walking up and down. I can't concentrate in that. I don't know about you, but I need a quiet place to do my work. Even a thing like natural sunlight can also make you worry, because we need sunlight. Especially we as South Africans, I struggle with my sunlight. I really need that. And when I work in a difficult or dark place, it also creates worry. And of course, we have relationship conflict. And remember that relationship conflict is an external trigger, not an internal one. We could identify it as an internal conflict, but it's not. It's an external conflict. It happened outside of your body. Unresolved arguments or strained silences. Many husbands and wives, husbands said, "Oh, just wife, please just talk to me. I know we had a disagreement, but just talk. The silence is killing me." Have you noticed that phrase? This is where it comes in. It causes one to worry because he doesn't know where he stands. And this can happen with a partner, a friend, or a family member. And this also connects with our first point of communication, vague communication, where people don't know what's going on, and then it's vague, and then we worry about our relationships. But now let's look at the internal triggers. These are the cognitive habits and biological states that generate worry from the inside out. Here we look at perfectionism, the belief that is a disaster. Worry becomes the quality control mechanism to prevent us from errors. You have to do this perfect. And if you don't do it perfect, then we worry. And we don't talk about it because it's external. We just keep on worrying. Then we look at biological depletion. The lack of sleep, poor nutrition, too much caffeine. When your body is stressed physically, the brain looks for a reason and creates a worry to match that physical feeling. So we need to be, when you worry, please check biological yourself. Did I get enough sleep? Did I eat enough? Also, did I have enough water? Or what can I do physically to reduce my worry? Then there's also the need for certainty. The inability to sit with the unknown. You're not sure what's going to happen, so you sit there, and when you're worrying about something that we don't know what's going to happen, we create worry within ourselves. If the brain doesn't know the ending of a story, it will invent a tragic one just to have an answer. But listen here, invent the tragic one. So you make it up, and you worry about something that might happen. That's interesting, right? But also, we have past traumas in our lives. We call this the ghost worries. Your brain uses the negative experiences of 10 years ago to warn you about a completely different situation today. Yeah, but last time this happens, last time when I trusted someone, this happens, and now I'm going to trust someone again, so it will happen again. See, the brain completes the story, but the story was never completed. The brain only created the ending. I want to move on, and I want to talk about what worry, the emotion of worry, does to us physically. Well, the first thing we have, we experience worry in our face and our head. Our muscles get tensed. Our jaw gets clenched. We also get dizzied. Then, when you go to our chest and heart, we get the adrenaline makes our heart go faster, pump more blood. And then the chest tightens. Also, it becomes difficult to swallow. But then we move to the gut, your second brain. Now, in your gut, it feels like these butterflies flying around in your stomach, or you're getting nauseous or irritation. And that happens in your gut. And this is all about worrying, right? When you go through the rest of your body, your muscles experience tightening. It tightens and it struggles to relax. Some people get the trembling and the twitches. Some also get cold hands and feet. So these are just some of the common symptoms we experience when we have worry in our brain, but how it manifests. So let us quickly go back to the amygdala, where the worry starts. When we worry, the brain, more specific, the amygdala, triggers this sympathetic nervous system, initiating a full body stress response. Even though the threat is just a thought, your body reacts as if it is facing a physical predator. Before we go into a break, let me quickly summarize what I just said. So, when we worry, our respiratory system, our breathing, gets slower. We get shortness of breath because it's preparing for a high physical exhaustion. Then, our cardiovascular gets a rapid heartbeat because it's increasing the oxygen delivering to the muscles. In the digestive part of our body, we get the tightness. We are slowing down this digestion to save energy. Let me just try that again. We are swallowing down digestion to save energy. Lastly, the integumentary part of our system starts to sweat a lot. And this is because it is preparing the body to cool down, to make itself ready for this fight. Now, if you look at why this happens, the thing is, remember, in our minds, the amygdala say, hey, this is danger, get ready for a fight. Then the muscles get more blood, the digestion slow down, and we get prepared for, we're going to fight now, you know? And that's why we have all these physical things in our body. But that's all because of worry. Very interesting. Now, in the context of the balanced mind, it is helpful to view worry not as a good or bad thing, but as a tool that is easily misused. Biologically, worry is meant to be a survival mechanism. However, when it becomes chronic habit, the cost begins to weigh the benefits down. So let's look at the breakdown of the pros and cons of worry. So let us look firstly at the positives of worry, the pros. Believe it or not, worry serves a functional purpose in small doses. This is why the brain haven't evolved away from it. It helps us with anticipatory planning. See, worry can act as a mental rehearsal. It allows you to identify potential obstacles and create a plan B before the crisis happens. I know this is very, very helpful when you do an event and you need to think of all the possible things that can go wrong and how to breach it. Worry can also act as a motivator. A healthy amount of worry about a deadline or a health issue can provide the adrenaline needed to take action. For example, studying for a test or booking a doctor's appointment. We are worried about something, let's go to the doctor, so let's make an appointment. It can also help with conflict resolution. Worrying about a sustained relationship can prompt you to reflect on your own actions and prepare a thoughtful apology or a conversation. Then there's also safety signaling. In truly dangerous situations, worry keeps you vigilant. It's the gut feeling that tells you not to walk down a dark alley or to double check the locks and your front door. Now let's look at the cons, the negatives of worry. See, worry becomes bad when it moves from problem solving to rumination, running around in circles without a solution. Cognitive paralysis is what happens while small worries motivates high level worry paralysis. It creates analysis paralysis. My tongue is really nodding there. Where you can also be afraid of making a wrong choice, that you end up making no choice at all. We also have the physical toll it has on our bodies. Chronic worrying keeps our body in that fight or flight mode. This leads to a high cortisol levels, which are linked to a weakened immune system, digestive issues, and increased risk of cardiovascular disease, heart problems. Also, our emotions get exhausted. Worrying is mentally expensive. It uses up the cognitive energy you need for creativity, joy, and presence, leaving you feeling burned out, even if you haven't been physically at all, or physically active at all. It also have a strain on our relationships. When you worry excessively about others, it can manifest as controlling behavior or smothering, which damages the very boundaries we discussed earlier. Then also, we have a false sense of security. Ironically, worry can make us less prepared because we spend all our energy thinking the whole time about the problem. We often have no energy left to actually fix the problem because we are so drained and so worn out that we can't address the issue. So let's quickly take a recap of productive worry versus unproductive worry. The good and the bad of worry. So, when we focus on things within our control, that is productive worrying. But if we focus on the what ifs, that is uncontrollable. So that means it's unproductive worrying. When worry leads to a specific action or plan that is productive, yay, great. When it leads to circular thinking, it drains us. That is unproductive worry. When worry ends one's problem to be addressed, so when it's a problem and it's addressed, that is productive worry. But when worry persists, even after the situation has passed, that is unproductive worry. When the worry feels like a preparation, that's good. That is productive. But when it feels like torture, it's unproductive. Okay, so let us move on and let us look at how we can support someone who is constant worrying about things. So, supporting a chronic worrier requires a delicate balance. If you are too dismissive, they feel that they are being unheard. If you join their worry, you validate their fear. To help them find a balanced mind, you have to move from being their fixer to being their anchor. So the first thing we need to do is we need to validate their feeling. The biggest mistake people make is trying to use a logic to disprove a worry. This usually makes the worrier try harder to convince you why it is a real threat. We need to be careful not to say things like, "Ach, don't worry, that will never happen," because this feels dismissive. But what we can say is, "I can see how much this thing is worrying you right now. It sounds really exhausting to carry that thought around." This works because you are acknowledging the internal experience without arguing that the arguing how big the problem is for them. Let us look at helpful phrases we can use to help someone who worries. So instead of saying you're overreacting, let us try something like, it makes sense that you're stressed about the given subject because of how much you care about this, so you validate the feeling. Also, don't say something like, everything will be fine. Rather say something like, whatever happens, we will figure it out together. This tells the person that you are there for them. Don't say things like, just stop thinking about it. No, rather say something like, let's put this thought into a parking lot. Let's park it for a while, for an hour, and let's go for a walk so that we can gain perspective. Also, don't say things like, I told you 1,000 times why that won't happen. Not a good idea. Rather say, I hear your fear, but I have a different perspective. Want to hear about it? This is phrases we can focus on to help someone who worries a lot. Let us practice these phrases and be more of a supporter for our loved ones. Let's look at 2 techniques we can use to help us when we worry. Now, the first one is a very fun one that I came across. It is called the 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique. This is a sensory technique used to pull you out of the spiraling thought back into the present moment. It's perfect for when you feel overwhelmed or panicked. So let's look at it. Slowly identify the following things in your immediate environment. So let's identify 5 things that you can see, anything you can see. Example, a blue pin, a crack in the wall, a tree outside, anything you can see, identify it and name it 5 things. Then we move on to 4 things you can touch. Anything from fabric of your shirt, the cold surface of the desk, your own hair, anything you can feel, you can touch. Name it, anything, any 4 things. Then let's move on to 3 things you can hear. The hum of a fridge, a distant traffic, your own breathing, anything you can hear, anything when you close your eyes, and you can just identify any 3 things that you can identify. Then we'll go on to smell. Any 2 things you can smell, coffee, rain, anything. Even just a neutral smell of the room. You know, most rooms have that smell. Identify that happens. Anything you can smell. There's no limitations. And then lastly, 1 thing you can taste. Maybe it's the lingering taste of a toothpaste or just the inside of your mouth. Identify it. Also, like the coffee you maybe just had. Now, why does this technique work? It focuses your brain to switch from the internal thoughts you're worrying to an external, the external world, which physically calms your nervous system. I know the psychiatrist I know also told me to do this, to focus on the present. He said, well, maybe there's a flower or things. Focus on a flower. Focus on the color of it, the shape of it, to ground you in your present moment. Bring it back to the now. So, this is why it works so great. Then we're going to look at the second one, the worry time technique. So if your mind feels cluttered with a long list of tasks and what ifs, I can help you structure a worry time schedule. Now that sounds very interesting, doesn't it? If you're feeling physically anxious and overwhelmed in your present moment, we can try and guide a grounding exercise. The goal of this technique is to stop worrying about leaking into your whole day by giving it the schedule time. So step one, let's create a worry list. Whatever a worry pops into your head during the day, try to solve it, or don't try to solve it. Rather write it down in a notebook or on your phone and tell yourself, you know what, I'm not ignoring this worry. I'm going to deal with it at a certain time, like 4:30 p.m. Then we're going to focus on it. Secondly, we set a dedicated time, like a 15-minute window each day, say from 4:30 to 4:45, and we do not do this before bed. Very important, we don't do a worry time exercise before bed. We do it somewhere during the day. Stay free as we have this worry session, you know, this 15-minute break. Then we look at the list, we go through the item, and we worry as much as you want, but in that window time of 15 minutes from 4:30 to 4:45. So, these techniques help you because we acknowledge just the worry, and we say, okay, we're going to worry about it during that time, so we don't ignore it, but we validate it. But important, when your 15 minutes are up, you need to stop. If the worry comes back later, you can say, you know what, let's focus on this tomorrow in our worry time. This is the fun way to also look at our worries. So let's look at the core message of today. We've spent time exploring what to do with sadness and worry on a general level. But if you find that these internal false alarms are consistently harming your relationship or your peace of mind, a more personalized approach are transformative. Chronic worry isn't just a bad habit. It is often a biological survival mechanism that has lost its way. When your brain works on its braking system and struggles to calm down the emotional center, the amygdala, you find yourself stuck in a loop of what if this, what if that. No. As a counselor, I view these moments not as flaws, but as signals that your system is out of balance. My mission is to move beyond simple symptom management. I am dedicated to enhancing your total well-being through a system approach counseling, helping you achieve a wholeness in your body, mind, and soul. Together we will look at the bio-spiritual wellness, understanding how your biology, your life choices, and your internal narrative interact. We won't just talk about worry. We will develop a practical plan to protect you from negative factors that drain your energy, to prevent the risk factors that lead to chronic burnout, also to educate you how your daily choices impact your mental clarity. I am committed to helping you facilitate self-care and giving you practical coping skills to promote a positive state of well-being. I will be there to train, to guide, and to monitor your progress so that the changes you make are not just temporary, but are lasting transformations. If you are ready to stop simply managing your worry and start navigating towards a better quality of life, I am here to support that journey. Let's build a balanced mind together. If you want to contact me, you can do so on the Facebook page Dion Bicycle. Email is dionlabu@gmail.com, and in the subject line you write the balanced mind. As we close off today's episode of the balanced mind, remember that worry is not a flaw. It is the survival instinct that has simply lost its way. When you feel exhausted or worn out, it is often because your brain gets stuck in a high-risk reality. But this reality is a simulated reality, trying to solve problems that haven't happened yet. By understanding the difference between the productive planning and unproductive what-ifs, you can stop the cycle of mental and physical illness. Use your toolkit. Ground your senses with the 5-4-3-2-1 technique when you feel overwhelmed, and also use your worry time to keep your anxieties from hijacking your entire day. My name is Dion Bicycle, and you are listening to The Balanced Mind. I'm looking forward to seeing you next year, right here again. Same time, same place. And remember, keep a balanced mind and keep on growing in your emotional maturity. Until we meet again.